Thank you. It has been a pleasure, as I expressed this morning, for my wife and I to be here. A pleasure mixed in with the service that we've been able to give. We trust in His name for His honor and for His glory. We do appreciate the folks here. We're very grateful, as I mentioned, for not only the folks here in Spanish Wells, but other of the islands of the Bahamas where we've been privileged to try to be a help to the Lord's people. So we thank you again, and we await that coming day when eternity will reveal the results of our labors. As we have noted in some of our studies together, particularly with the men, it is not this day that will reveal it. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul reminds us, the day shall reveal it, and then we'll see it for what it really is. And so we look forward to that day. We want to turn to the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 24. We've been looking together at the coming of the Lord Jesus, His return. And we want to look at that subject again tonight in Matthew chapter 24. And we're going to begin reading at verse 36. Matthew 24:36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Listen to the words of the Lord Jesus again. It's the subject of tonight's message, the theme of tonight's message. The Lord Jesus said this, be ye also ready. And that's the question we want to ask tonight. Are you ready? Are you ready for the return of the Lord Jesus? Now he goes on to say after this statement in verse 44, who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The Lord Jesus tells us here, as he gives us this illustration by way of parable and by way of his teaching, that there is a blessedness for those who are watching and waiting for the Lord Jesus to return. There's a blessedness to those that are ready for the Lord's return. And we've spent some weeks now in the messages that have been given here, and we've spoken about the blessedness of what it'll mean for us who know the Lord Jesus and are ready for His return. It is a blessed hope for us, but for those that are not ready, those that are not prepared for the Lord Jesus, it's a time, a wretched time for them. We hear the Lord Jesus saying here that that servant that said to himself, my Lord delayeth his coming. and said in his own heart, My Lord delays his coming, that the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, in an hour that he is not aware of, shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Throughout the weeks that we've been looking at this subject together, we have noted a number of things about the return of the Lord Jesus. The Scriptures teach us the certainty of His coming again. That is one fact that we are absolutely sure of from the Word of God. The certainty of the coming of the Lord Jesus. He Himself said it. The Scriptures teach it. The angels confirmed it. The Lord Jesus' coming is certain. We notice also, though, about the coming of the Lord Jesus, that while His coming is certain, the timing of it is uncertain. Yes, the Lord Jesus is coming back, but we don't know the day, we don't know the hour. And throughout the Lord's teaching, He emphasized that. A preparedness, a watchfulness, an expectancy, a certainty, and yet the uncertainty of the timing of it. We notice also that wherever the Lord Jesus taught about His coming again, about His return, He taught that there was a preparation that was necessary. And throughout these teachings of the Lord Jesus, by way of direct teaching, by way of parable, by way of illustration and picture, the Lord Jesus constantly stressed that fact. The certainty of His coming, the uncertainty of the timing of it, and the need to be prepared. Are you ready for the return of the Lord Jesus? Now, when we come to chapter 25 in Matthew's Gospel, the Lord Jesus is going to illustrate this truth for us, and He's going to do it primarily in the first two parables that He gives. He's going to illustrate the truth of what it means to be prepared, and He's going to give us a picture of some who were prepared and some who were not prepared. And in the time that we have remaining, we want to look at those two parables, the first two parables of Matthew chapter 25. Let me just begin by reading Matthew chapter 25 and verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Now whatever else you may make of this parable, listen to the application that the Lord Jesus makes, one of the applications in verse 13. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. The parable of the 10 virgins. 10 virgins, 5 of them wise, 5 foolish, all with lamps, only 5 with oil in their lamps. What do we learn from this parable as the Lord Jesus brings it out to illustrate the need to be prepared for His return? One thing we see, it speaks of something that wasn't seen. Something was inward that couldn't be seen. In other words, here were these 10. All of them had lamps. If you looked at them from the outside, you couldn't tell the difference of one from the other. 10 people, 10 lamps, one big difference. Inside of half of the lamps was oil. The other lamps, no oil. And while we don't press necessarily every point of the parable, we get the main thrust of what the Lord Jesus is saying to us here. It's what wasn't seen that mattered here. It's what wasn't seen in that sense that prepared those 5 to be able to go into the wedding when the bridegroom came for the time of the marriage. The outward looked okay. Anybody passing by wouldn't have seen any difference between one lamp and the other. While the outside looked fine, there was an incredible difference, an important difference. And that was 5 had oil and 5 did not. We know that often in the scripture, oil is used to illustrate the Spirit of God. In Old Testament times, kings were anointed, prophets were anointed, priests were anointed with oil. It is often emblematic, representative of, if you will, of the Spirit of God. We know that in New Testament times, the book of Romans tells us that if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. That every believer in the Lord Jesus has the Spirit of God. It is one of the unique features in the age in which we are living, that when the Lord Jesus left this earth, was raised from the dead, glorified, ascended back into heaven, he sent the Spirit of God to permanently indwell each and every believer in the Lord Jesus. As I said, it's one of the unique features of the age in which we find ourselves living. But you know as well as I do, as you look at a person from the outside, you and I really don't know what's going on the inside. And there are many people who may look fine on the outside. There are many people, maybe even as you look at them, you can't tell the difference between them and anybody else. But they don't have the Spirit of God. They've never trusted Christ as Savior. They may come to church. You that are listening by way of radio, you may attend church meetings. You may have a Bible. You may have been baptized. But you've never personally seen yourself as the sinner that Jesus Christ died for. And there's a vast difference between you and those who are truly saved. And when the Lord Jesus comes back, it seems to me as we read this parable that there's going to be some surprises. We may all be somewhat surprised. There may be people who don't go that we thought were going. There may be people left behind that we thought would have been taken when the Lord Jesus comes. We may be in for some surprises. God alone knows the heart. Now, you don't have to be left in doubt. And it's not my intention in any way to try to put you in a state of doubt. It's the question the Lord Jesus asks here. It's the statement that he makes that I asked in form of question, are you ready? It's not enough just to have the outward religious veneer. It is the inward reality that counts. And that's why it is only the salvation that's found in the Lord Jesus that can do that inner work in the individual. Ritual can't do it. It can only affect the outside. Religion can't do it. It can only affect the outside. But the salvation that's in the Lord Jesus Christ, in His gospel, as we find in the Word of God, affects change from the inside and creates a reality from the inside out. It is an inner work that only He can do. Are you ready? You know, this parable is interesting too. It is solemn to think that in chapter 25 and verse 11, they came and they said, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, I know you not. Think of the awful cry when they realized their condition, but it was too late to do anything about it. There was no second chance. There was no hope for them at that point. One of the biggest lies the devil has, one of the biggest lies that he has, is summed up in one word, tomorrow. You don't need to get saved today. You don't need to get saved tonight. You can wait. You've waited this long. It's a lie of the devil. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time when God will hear you. There will come a time, according to what God's Word says, when if you've heard the message and rejected the truth of God's Word, He will not hear you, just like He didn't hear those who knocked too late. It's interesting at least to think, isn't it, that in chapter 24, there was another door that was shut, the door of the ark. And you remember how Noah is brought out before us as an illustration of those in his day who heard the message that Noah preached, that preacher of righteousness. But when the door of that ark was shut, it was too late. No good crying then. No good knocking then. The time was past. Today is the day. Tonight is the night. Now is the time. Don't delay any longer. Trust the Lord Jesus as Savior. Realize your own sinfulness and realize that Christ died for you, not the person sitting next to you. He died was the death that you deserve because of your sin. And it was your sin that He bore on the cross in His body on the tree. It was your sin that nailed Him there. And the wrath of God abides on you. You're already condemned. And the only way of escape is by turning to the Lord Jesus and saying, Lord Jesus, I recognize that what you did for me. I'm the sinner that you died for. And I believe on you now. And I receive you by faith as my Savior. Don't delay. It's the only way to be ready when the Lord Jesus returns. There's another thing that we find here. And that is, it is at least of interest to note that there were 10 virgins. You know, 10 in the Scripture often is the number of responsibility. The responsibility of man towards God. There were 10 commandments. Normally you have 10 fingers. You have 10 toes to be used for God, for His honor, for His glory. Often in Scripture, the number of 10 can be a number that represents responsibility. With that, the Lord Jesus goes on to tell another parable that will emphasize responsibility. If the first parable is meant to illustrate that which was inward and could not be seen from the outside, the second parable brings before us that which is seen on the outside. And I'm going to read now from Matthew chapter 25 and verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents. Now, a talent in that day was a sum of money. It was not an ability like we think of it in the way of talent today, but rather a sum of money. He gave unto the one 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. So he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I know thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, gathering where thou hast not strawed. I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. As I said, if the first parable was meant to illustrate to us that which was inward and could not be seen, the second parable, the parable of the talents, brings before us what is seen. I want to suggest to you that one of the things that we do see here is that this thing about the life that we have in Christ is not just an inner thing. And don't misunderstand what I said in regard to the first parable. Yes, it's true. It is what's on the inside that counts. But what you have on the inside will work itself out on the outside. And if you have that life in you, it is going to be expressed outwardly in what you do and in your service for the Lord Jesus. Many people who are listening to my voice right now, some by way of radio, some of you in this very building, you say you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. What is there in your life that would indicate that to anybody else? What is there in the things you do and how you live in your service that indicates that you are indeed a true believer in the Lord Jesus? How can you have that life and it not express itself? If a fruit tree has life, it's going to bring forth leaves, it's going to bring forth fruit, and if all you see is dead wood, it's a pretty good assumption that that tree is dead. It has no root. It has no life. Many of you, if I were to ask you tonight, if you are a Christian, if you're a believer, are you ready for the Lord Jesus to come? You'd say, oh yes, I am. But what is there in your life to indicate that? And so the outward is important. You'll notice in this parable, in verse 19, after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh. There was a long time before the Lord came back, a long period of time before the Master returned to reckon with them, but come back he did. The question had to do with what had they done with that which the Lord had placed in their hands as a responsibility. I want you to be clear. We're not talking about a salvation by works here. We're not talking about you doing something of your own effort in order to be saved. It's something else. You notice the response of this last servant. He says, when the Lord came, in verse 24, I knew thee. I knew thee. But what an inaccurate picture he gave of the master who had given him all that that servant had. I knew what you were like, but how he distorted the picture. Where did he get that which he had been given to use? He got it from that master, didn't he? Where did you receive that you have, which God has given you and will hold you accountable for? He'll hold you accountable. And there are some of you today, this evening, that are here that could say in that sense, I know I've heard about him. I know him in that sense. Well, what have you done with that responsibility? What have you done with the knowledge God has given you of himself, What have you done with the messages that you've heard, with the gospel that's been preached to you, with the witness that your relatives, your grandmother, your grandfather, your mother, your father, your relatives have borne to you? What have you done with it? There'll come a day of reckoning. Has it affected your life? Is it seen on the outside? His response to that knowledge was wrong. He did his own thing with what he had, while the others knew the Master's will. Even though he didn't specifically spell it out to them, they knew the Master's will, and they used what the Master had given them, even though he didn't have to leave them a set of rules about what to do with it. And the one who distorted his view of the Master and was not faithful with what had been placed in his hand. I believe that those of us who are living in the country in which I'm from, I believe those of you who are living in this country in which you find yourself, oh, what a responsibility you have. Here you live in an island where the gospel is preached faithfully week after week, and by some of you day after day. Some of you have heard that message over and over again, but you never personally have trusted Christ as Savior and exercised your will and faith and turned to the Lord Jesus and been saved. And you're like that man who took that which he had and hid it. When the Lord came back, he assigned him his place into the outer darkness where there was weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's a sad comment. It's a sad statement when we think about what is going to happen to those and where they will be assigned in that coming day. You know, the knowledge of the Lord that goes out produces a number of responses. You know, the coming day we read about in the book of Revelation, when the wrath of God begins to be poured out upon this earth, there goes up a cry from the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains. And they say in Revelation chapter 6 and verse 16, to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Think of it. They know it's the day of his wrath, and they know it's the day of the wrath of the Lamb. But what is their cry? It's not, save us. It's hide us. Today is the day when you can know the Lamb of God in that character as Savior. There's coming a time when that same Lamb who died on Calvary's cross as the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, there's coming a time when that same Lamb will execute his wrath upon this world. And as 2 Thessalonians tells us, Jesus Christ will come in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you ready for the Lord's return? The only way you can be assured you're ready is to be sure that you know him tonight, now, as your Savior. Now, please don't leave this building in the same condition you came in if you're not saved. I'm going to ask Brother Girth to come and close. And what I'd like to do tonight, because I know I like to greet the folks and talk to them as I'm out in the foyer, but I'd like to ask you that know the Lord Jesus as Savior just to stay in here for just a couple of minutes, just in case there's somebody here who would slip out first while Brother Girth is closing and join me, and we can go to a private place and we can show you from God's Word how you can know that you're saved and ready to meet the Lord Jesus. Thank you.
Let's pray. Our Father, we thank Thee for the gospel message which has gone forth once again tonight. We thank Thee for our brother who has so ably divided Thy word and preached forth the gospel message. And we pray that tonight each one that has heard the message would be ready when the Lord Jesus comes to call us home to be with him. We thank thee, Father, for this time that we've had together and for this service, for the message once again that has gone forth. And Father, we pray that tonight some lost soul of souls would come to the Savior, that there would be rejoicing over souls coming to the Savior. So we ask your blessing as we part, for we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.